Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're going to talk about brain injuries this morning and a terrific organization that is right here in town to provide a lot of good information and help to people who need it. Brain Injury Services of Fredericksburg, our focus. Zachary Daniels, the program manager, he is in this morning. Zachary, good to meet you. Good morning.
Thanks, Ted. Excited to be here today.
Good to have you here. And Linda Allen is here this morning. Linda, good to have you here this morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Zachary, I'll start off with you. I did not realize, Linda sent me some information, and when I saw the fact that the Brain Injury Services of Fredericksburg celebrating 30 years, that's a good amount of time to be here, and I'm looking forward to finding out all that you provide.
Absolutely. So basically, we started in Northern Virginia. Our headquarters is in Springfield, Virginia, and in 1989, the organization at that time was looking at supporting survivors of head injury. And as you can see, even just in the terms, from head injury to brain injury today, a lot's changed in that time. So actually in 2002, we started the first group here in Fredericksburg. And with that, we started doing adult case management, pediatric case management, and a day program in the community to support people and just help them to get back on their feet after their brain injury.
And as we talk this morning, what we'll talk about, I mean, brain injuries, so many things are tied to brain injuries that you might not even think. As I looked at all this, I just thought for people who are dealing with this and families that are dealing with this, to have you here, right here in this area, is a huge thing.
Absolutely. There's a lot of terms out there. We see it in movies and society and culture, and it's really confusing. A lot of people go in, they may understand that they have a brain injury, but what does that mean? What does that mean for your work?
Yeah.
What does that mean for your family and the rest of your life? How does that change you as a person? So that's where we try and help. And that's really our goal with people, is to help them put their lives back together and move forward in a positive way.
Where are you located around here?
So right now our office is behind Gander Mountain and Bed Bath Beyond off of Route 3 West. And basically we have an office there with our case managers and the day program. And we also have a large shuttle bus that will take out clients to the community for all the events and activities that
okay.
we do.
Yeah, there's that office park back there.
Right.
Is where you're at. It's Brain Injury Services of Fredericksburg. Zachary Daniels here this morning. Linda Allen here on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You think of the changes, Zachary, over the years. The NFL, you look at that, concussions. Mm-hmm. So much more is known now about concussions than even 5 years ago. I mean, it's a huge thing. The helmets are totally different, how they look.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of the research right now is very much focused on what's going on with athletes, and that can be in the school system all the way up to professional sports. And we also see a lot going on with our veterans today, too. And I think that's really spurning a lot of research overall for brain injury. And what we're really finding is that, you know, like we are all unique personalities, unique individuals, how the brain injury happens and what that means for that person is going to be different. So it's really important to know who is this person before this event and afterwards. So as you've probably seen, different school systems, and again, all the way up professional sports, really trying to see what's the normal functioning of this person before this happens, so we can understand better later on what the impact has been.
Well, one of the things, just even a few years ago, that we didn't, the word, the term concussion protocol is something you hear now. You can watch any kind of sport, and if someone gets injured, gets some kind of a head injury, you hear about they're in the concussion protocol. And I guess I'm sure you're glad to see that kind of thing, that so much more care is being taken to
that.
Well,
I think it is, because we're recognizing that you can't just shake off an impact to the head, because we're not certain immediately what's going on. You know, if someone breaks an arm or if someone has some other physical injury that's really apparent and you can see, we're pretty clear on what needs to happen and what needs to go forward. But if someone gets hit in the head really hard, they seem a little dizzy or out of it, or they're a little confused, I think the mentality of, oh, they just need a few minutes, we're learning that that's not enough. We're learning that we need to really assess this person. So the different tests that people can use assessing someone's vision, telltale signs that something's going on post-hit. And then just the future of us designing more protocols and tests that really enable us to get specific and say, okay, looks like your body's reacting with stress. So that's telling us that this impact had a greater effect than we realized. So I think what we're doing from the coaches to the professionals is really just trying to make sure everyone's educated and everyone, you know, again, is kind of following those protocols. There's different ones out there, and I think we're trying to get to a point where we can hone them in and make them as helpful as possible. But basically, you're looking at a four-step series where you have someone that rests for a period of time, they return to light activity, moderate, and then hopefully they can get to the stage of getting back to the regular activity that they were at before.
I remember, and this was probably 20 years ago now, when my daughter was playing Parks and Rec basketball and got hit in the head pretty hard with a basketball. Oof. And this was before any of this kind of discussion. And I remember it was a number of days of where she had a headache and a lot of these things that you hear about. At that time, we didn't know anything about it. It was just like, we just got hit in the head, you know, come on, get back up. And it took her a number of days before she started feeling better.
Well, I'm glad she started to feel better after that. And I think two things to highlight with that. One, there's this old myth that we're trying to educate people about, that you can't fall asleep after you have, you know, a hit to your head. And that's something that's not really true. Again, it's about rest. So I remember the first time I knocked, I got a concussion. I was skiing. And, you know, I remember my mom being really upset and concerned and thinking, like, oh, my gosh, you can't fall asleep, all this stuff, and just being really paranoid about it. And in reality, that's not really going to be the best solution for it. And I think the other thing, too, and I appreciate you mentioning that, is you were following your daughter. You were aware of what was going on for her, and you were trying to pay attention to that. And that's kudos to you for just being, you know, a good parent on that. And I think the thing that happens, unfortunately, is the majority of people that have a concussion will recover. But you're looking at probably maybe 20% of those that have a concussion won't. And they may have continuing symptoms that can go beyond a couple of months. So that's something to be aware of and always track. So it's a great point.
Well, to go back to athletics again, you read some of these stories of NFL players. Jim McMahon, I remember a couple years ago, a Sports Illustrated article of what he's like today. Mm-hmm. And basically he can't remember things. He's in a dark room all day. Mm-hmm. And they're just story after story of NFL players from the 60s, 70s, and 80s where they didn't know this kind of thing. And today, those people are just a shell of themselves.
They are. And I think, unfortunately, when you have repeated hits to the head, that damage just expounds upon itself. And it gets a lot worse, exponentially worse. And, you know, for our folks that, whether they're in other sports such as boxing or football, as the example you mentioned, it's something that we need to be aware of, that they can have lifelong effects. So, you know, for a lot of those folks, they really have to control the environment around them because their brain can't filter out that information like it used to. So it's easy for them to get worn out, stressed, or just be overwhelmed in certain scenarios.
Well, and I'm sure you're dealing with in your office and what we're dealing with around here is just a number of things. You think of strokes, concussions. All kinds of you're dealing with all kinds of things.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of what we are happy to talk about today and just, you know, let everyone know, is that brain injury encompasses so many different types of disabilities. And that can be anything where there's been an internal or external force that has caused a change in brain functioning. So like you mentioned with stroke, being that it's Stroke Awareness Month, we're talking about some of the internal mechanisms that cause a brain injury. And, you know, people like you have another person that came in and spoke about aneurysms. That's another type. It could be someone having a near drowning incident because they have a lack of oxygen that's caused damage to the brain. It could have been a choking incident, something as simple as that. So brain injury encompasses a lot. So that's what we want to make sure people know, that we're here to support everyone. And, you know, that, you know, if you've had something where you've been in a car accident, you had a fall, you're in had a sports injury, or if you had a stroke, we're here for that.
Brain Injury Services of Fredericksburg, our focus this morning. Zachary Daniel is here. He's the program manager. Linda Allen is also here this morning. BrainInjurySVCS.org, the website that has all kinds of information about what is provided locally around here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Chu.
We're talking about brain injury services of Fredericksburg this morning. Zachary Daniels here, the program manager, and Linda Allen is also here. Linda, there is an open house coming up Thursday the 30th from 11 to 2, and especially as we sit here and talk, I keep thinking, 30 years you've been here, and I had no idea. And there may be other people like that, and this is a chance to, I guess, come on in and see what you have to offer.
Yes, that's part of the purpose of our open house, is to invite people in to learn more about brain injury services and what we offer and how we can help families and survivors with the process after an injury. So, yeah, we'll have some snacks for people, and we'll have some information about what we do, and we will have some information, since it's Stroke Awareness Month, specifically about stroke. The stroke support group that's at Mary Washington Hospital will also have some information about that. So, yeah, we want families, potential members of our day program, and service providers, anybody who's interested in finding out more information, to feel welcome to come on May 30th.
It is from 11 to 2, and again, Brain Injury Services of Fredericksburg, located at 927 Maple Grove Drive, Suite 107, right? That side road. The road, if you're using the cut through to get around
exactly.
Route 3,
yes.
you're going to go by Brain
yes,
Injury
Services.
Yes, there's
an office park right there, yeah.
Yep, and that's where you are. Zachary mentioned it, and you just mentioned it, the day services program. What's involved
yes.
there?
It's a program for adults who are survivors of brain injury, and we have 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We meet from 9 to 3. We offer opportunities for them to develop or reconnect with social skills, community-oriented projects. We volunteer almost every week. We have a volunteer outing that we do, so that gets them into the community, but also that's some practical skills that they can work back into their daily life, you know?
Yeah.
We work on independent living skills, culinary skills, all sorts of things to help people sort of integrate back into the community and into daily living skills, that kind of thing, to help them
get back into things.
Yeah, you know, you lose a lot when you have a brain injury,
right.
And you don't think about the things that you lose. And so there are some very basic daily living skills that people may not have the ability to reconnect with. And so we're trying to help them find those ways to redevelop those skills.
There's a concept we've kind of been hinting around, and that's the death of self that happens with someone that's had a brain injury, and the rebirth of a new self post-brain injury. And it's something that a lot of survivors talk about, and it's a very powerful concept. And I think what Linda's talking about, all these different activities that we do, at the end of the day, we're really trying to help them on their journey of self-discovery, because mm-hmm. it's a whole new ballgame, and they're reborn with new strengths, new challenges, and we're just trying to help them figure that out and take them on that road and know that they have a companion, they have support, and they have encouragement to get there.
I guess.
And also,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Also, give them a space that's safe to grieve that loss of self, too, because that's a huge thing for people to have something happen to you, and then all of a sudden you're not the person that you were before. And
yeah.
who are you now? So how do you redefine that? How do you rediscover that? And how do you find skills that maybe you didn't know you had? Because we provide opportunities for maybe to be artistic and have self-expression that you didn't have. You didn't allow yourself those opportunities before, but maybe there's a gift there that you hadn't discovered. So we have opportunities for people to be able to discover things about themselves that they might not have known previously.
Boy, and it's got to be difficult, because I know stroke victims, I mean, your life totally changes.
It does. And I think there's a couple like key concepts that we always keep in mind when we're working with survivors. And one of my favorite ones is humor and laughter. It's delicate, it's tough, but it is incredibly important.
Yeah.
And I think for us, it's one of the things that we focus on every day. You know, we talk together as staff, we're always mentioning, you know, if we don't have some moment of shared humor or laughter at something, you know, something went wrong this day, we need to make sure that's a goal. And so for with our survivors, we try and tie humor into resiliency. So it's this idea that humor doesn't have to be making fun of someone or saying that you failed or laughing at something that went wrong. It can be something of, you know what, it's okay say that something happened here. That's all right. You know what? I can shrug that off, or I can find that to be a little bit ironic. That's kind of amusing. Mm-hmm. So we really tie that into resiliency so they build the confidence. So when they're doing all these activities, they're practicing these skills, they're getting a chance to see, hey, you know, it's a safe environment, like Linda was saying. So if I make a mistake, it's okay. We can laugh about it in a healthy and cathartic way and go forward and just build on that.
Just yesterday, we had a laughing yoga class in the morning. So we definitely incorporate humor, but yeah. Wellness is a huge part of what we offer too, as part of the activities that we offer. We have a new space in the building that we're excited to share with people during the open house, that we created this corner that we're calling, we're not sure yet, the Zen Den or the Zen Zone, but we have sort of a meditation peace area where people can step outside the program if they need to for a minute and just go within, have a moment of relaxation, a moment of reflection. And there's various tools that they can use in that space to reconnect with their breath and just have a moment of silence or calm.
So would a person come to you, say, well, let's the example, say they've had a stroke, and in the initial days of a stroke and sometimes weeks and months, if you're getting rehab, say, in a hospital setting, after that, would they come to you, after they've done that, however long they do that, is that when they would come to you?
That's a great question, Ted. And I think a lot of people, again, understand that after you've had an injury, an accident, or a stroke, you go to the hospital. But what happens next?
Right.
So we are what we'd like to call the third level of care. So if the first level of care, like you identified, is the hospital, the second level would be, okay, let's do the post-acute care. So someone's going to get occupational therapy, physical therapy. They might be at an outpatient clinic where they're getting treated to deal with some of the complications that are medical related. And let's say then they're going to be released to go back home. That's where we're going to come in. That's where we want to have that conversation with that person and say, okay, how has your life changed? What questions do you have? Let's figure this out together.
Okay, boy, what a great service then you are, because after I've always wondered that what happens after you do the hospital, and what happens after you're in a nursing home, or you have some kind of, as you continue to have care, what next? You don't want to, this way you're not just sitting at home trying to, you know, you and your caregiver trying to figure things out.
Well, that's part of what people really struggle with, is that sense of isolation.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're at home, you've gone through the rehab process, and now what do you do? And if your abilities are different than they were before, and you don't know exactly what it is you can do in the community, how do you figure that out? So we help people figure out where they still fit into the community.
The biggest thing with case managers that we have for the adults and peds is they're really educating the family too, because it's not just one person. It takes a team. And everybody has to understand what this one survivor is going through. So that's where they really come in and say, hey, here's where we are. Here's what the strengths are. Here's what the challenges are. Let's all be on the same page. Because like we were talking about before, it's a new person. It's a new situation. It's a new role in that family. Maybe they were the breadwinner. Maybe they were the one that did the finances. Maybe they're the person that drove everyone to all the appointments. And perhaps all that's changed. And they need to figure out, what does our family look like now? So that's really important. And I think what our case managers do and really focus on is helping everyone to work together, and especially really understand the brain injury, get the education they need, and then learn the best communication tools to help them succeed.
Boy, and it seems like brain injuries, it just depends. Like you said earlier, I mean, everybody is so different, and it depends what part of the brain is impacted.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference as to what your life is going to look like afterwards. And part of the problem with brain injury, too, is that it's not something that you see. You're not wearing a cast. You know, nobody can tell that you've been injured. So they may interact with you as they used to interact with you, but you're not able to interact with them the same way you did before. And so really finding ways to communicate that and to be yourself in a new way are really important things that we work towards.
And we really focus on creativity, just building off of that, because, you know, as an example, let's say someone's not really able to talk as they normally could. They can understand something you're saying to them, but they just can't get the words out anymore.
Right.
And let's say that the part of the brain that's still intact has to do with singing. So maybe someone sings happy birthday or sings another song to them, and suddenly that pops in their head and they start singing back. So that's really one of the things we really focus on with them. It's like, what's a creative way? What's a different way that we can work around this problem or this barrier that you're having? And it's incredibly individual. And it's so exciting for us to see how our survivors will develop different ways all on their own, you know, and we're just trying to help them along that path to finding the best way to make that work. Like you said earlier, you know, we have folks that have maybe had one job for their entire life. This is how they define themselves. I've worked here. I've done this. Mm-hmm. This is part of who I am. And then that's changed. They can't drive or they're not really able to do that job anymore. Well, what's left? Maybe they had a hobby that they used to do as a kid. Maybe they used to draw a lot and now this passion is blossoming. And maybe they take that to the next level and they start producing their own artwork.
Boy, Zachary and Linda, it just seems you really would give seems to give families and the victims here just some hope.
Absolutely.
And important part of what we do, and especially the case managers, is support the families too. Yeah. Because that's a really hard road to walk too with someone that you love whose life has changed so much. And we have a support group that's starting to meet up again for women caregivers, survivors, family members, that meets on the last Tuesday of the month from 10:30 to noon, and we'll be starting up in June with that support group again.
Boy, I mean, for the caregivers, the spouse, things just change sometimes overnight, and just to try Absolutely. To come to grips of what do you do, what do I do next? It can be, I'm sure it's overwhelming.
It is, and that's why that peer support is so important, and that's why we try and do the group activities we have, and that's why the support group is there, really to help everyone feel like they're not alone in going through this.
Well, and one of the things, we just shared an article the other day on our Facebook page about siblings and how hard it is for them if they have a sibling who mm-hmm. was injured. And, you know, that dynamic, that relationship changes entirely. And what do you do with that? And those people need support too. And they can sometimes, you know, the focus becomes on the survivor and the siblings kind of go to the wayside. And so, you know, we're there to help people find ways to make referrals if they need counseling, that kind of thing.
Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Brain Injury Services of Fredericksburg, our focus. Linda Allen, Zachary Daniel here this morning. A Stroke Awareness Month open house set for Thursday the 30th from 11 to 2 at Brain Injury Services of Fredericksburg over on Maple Grove Drive in Spotsylvania. We'll talk more about that and again can continue to talk about just some of the terrific services and hope that is offered here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Thank you for listening this morning. It's now 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Brain Injury Services of Fredericksburg, our focus. Zachary Daniel is here this morning. Linda Allen here from the local office. BrainInjurySVCS.org is the website. A lot of good information there about a lot of the services and support groups that are offered, and we will talk again about those before we get out of here this morning. I guess, Zachary, when you're talking about brain injury, I mean, like we said, it's wide open. There are all kinds of things. There are all kinds of acronyms that I have seen that I have never seen or understand. But this is a big field.
It is, and like we were talking about before, since you know the beginning in 1989 when we started to today, the terms have changed, our definitions, how we define what brain injury is, and how we diagnose that, and all the tools we use have changed with research over time. So I think it's really important, I appreciate you asking that, to talk about what the different terms mean. And one of the first ones, the big umbrella term, if you want to use that, is ABI, which stands for acquired brain injury. And basically what we're looking at and how we define those that we serve and help are folks that have an injury after birth. You're looking at something that's not degenerative. It's not going to be a genetic or hereditary condition. You're looking at something where the brain is doing what it needs to do. It's going about its day. And unfortunately, something has dramatically changed that. Something's mm-hmm. interrupted that process. And so what you may be more familiar with, and a lot of people may have heard more, is the term traumatic brain injury. And what we're dealing with there is we're taking all the different types of brain injury and separating them into two categories. So traumatic brain injuries are those where some sort of external force has caused this injury, and that can be in sports, it could be a bat, it could be two soccer players that are heading the ball, but instead, unfortunately, head each other. It could be a fall, and you know the mechanism is the steps that you're hitting as you're going down the stairs. So that's the most common term, and most people know. But like we were talking about earlier, there are other forms of brain injury. And the non-traumatic ones are those like stroke or aneurysm, where something internal, like a blood vessel that bursts or there's a clot. Those are the things that also are brain injuries. They're just something internal that has gone wrong.
Mm. This being Stroke Awareness Month, are there different kinds of strokes?
Absolutely. And I think there are three that I really want to share about today. And those are the main ones that people deal with. So the first one is ischemic strokes. And that's one that probably most people are familiar with. They haven't heard the term. And that's where you have clotting. So you have a blockage in a blood vessel or an artery. And basically, unfortunately, oxygen and blood flow gets cut off to some section in the brain. And a stroke happens as a result of that. So you're looking at anywhere from like 85% to 90% of strokes are ischemic. And the good thing is with the prognosis or the recovery of someone that has an ischemic stroke is higher than some of the other forms. So the other type that is less common is a hemorrhagic stroke. And that's where a blood vessel bursts. So that can be from a lot of different reasons. That can be someone that has an aneurysm where they have a weakening, ballooning area of a blood vessel where the wall is not as strong or has good integrity, and unfortunately a trauma can cause that to burst. Or it could be something else where someone's born with just a situation where the blood vessels themselves just don't have strong walls. So basically what we're focusing on with those two is treatment and recovery. The third one that I want to talk about is a transient ischemic attack. So I'm just going to do TIA for short because it's easier to say. And a TIA is kind of a warning sign. So that's one I really want to hit on and make sure everyone's aware of, because it's a mini stroke. It's something where there's a temporary blockage. So someone is going to show the signs of stroke,
Yeah. But
they're going to recover. And that's a warning sign where someone needs to get checked out, talk to the professionals, make sure they're assessed. So there's a couple ways you can look at that and a couple signs that are helpful for that.
And they are, those signs are?
So I like the acronym FAST because it's a really easy way for folks to remember what to look for.
I have heard that. I mean, we've got some public service announcements to talk about that.
Absolutely. So basically FAST for F stands for face. So you're looking at facial droopage.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that someone has a blockage, they have an ischemic stroke, and it happens in the right-hand side of their brain. What you're going to see, because of the way that our neurology and our body is laid out, is the left side of the body is going to react to that. So in this case, if you ask that individual to try and smile, you might see the left side of their face drooping down. FAST is going to stand for the arms. So if you were to try and ask that person, hey, can you lift your arms as high as you can? Again, you would see the left arm probably drifting down, or maybe they're not able to raise it much at all. And then the S of FAST is going to be speech. So unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of examples, but there are good tools to see on YouTube of many newscasters or other folks who
They're
in the middle of a broadcast and suddenly you can see some changes in their face and their demeanor and their speech starts to get strange or slurred. So that's a very clear sign that something's going on. And then T of FAST, you're focusing on time. And in that case, it's basically, hey, you've seen these other signs. You need to call 911 and get them treated as quickly as possible. So
you often hear those kind of things. If you know, somebody at work will notice something. And it's good to know those things. And I guess if you suspect that, like you say, call 911, because at this point, seconds matter.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's one of the important things with stroke is treatment right away.
Yeah.
There's a window of opportunity for treatment that can greatly impact the recovery.
Do we know if stroke or susceptibility, if any of that's hereditary?
Absolutely. Basically, for factors or risk factors for stroke, you have some that you can't control and some that are treatable risk factors. Definitely can have a risk of that. So if there's a family history of it, unfortunately, there's a higher risk factor for individuals. I think the good thing is some of the most treatable risk factors are ones that we probably heard a lot about or are aware of. And one, for example, is high blood pressure or hypertension. So again, if you're looking at the flow of blood in the blood vessels in your brain, how that blood is flowing, how your heart is pumping, how healthy that is going to have a huge impact on the health of those blood vessels and their ability to continue doing what they need to do. So that's one that definitely can be a treatable risk factor. Another one is cigarette smoking, and it's been really tied strongly to the buildup of those fatty substances that can cause those blockages and clots. And there's a lot of others, depending on the different types of health history that an individual has, but those are the big ones that we always like to talk about and say, hey, you know, we all know that we need to eat better. We all know we need to exercise more. And, you know, these are really huge things for it. And I think the reason I want to mention that, too, is that stroke is more prevalent than people realize. And when you're looking at, you know, how many people in the nation are dealing with that, you know, it's in the top five. And you're dealing with folks that can have, you know, in a year, maybe close to 800,000, roughly, have a stroke each year. So this is a big thing. It affects lots of people in the community here and abroad. And it's something that we all, you know, can educate people about when there's a stroke happening. But we can also be more preventative, too.
The other thing, B1, is that supposed to be one? I've seen something about B1. You're looking at me.
I'm not sure what you mean. Can you flesh that out
maybe
a little bit more for me?
Is it BI? Okay, I didn't know if it was a one or an I was looking at. What that is?
Like just brain injury in
brain,
general?
Yeah, just yes, brain injury. Okay, I'm looking at that, and okay. Brain injury in general. When a person has a brain injury, then as we've talked about, obviously their personality. I mean, everything changes.
Absolutely.
I mean, or it can change.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially, yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, one thing I want to talk about is memory. You brought that up earlier when you're saying, you know, this is one thing that definitely people after brain injury can be impacted by. I think it's really important to talk about what makes a memory. And that's something that we often don't go that deep into.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I want to mention to that is attention, concentration, and your focus, right? So if your ability to filter out the sound around you, movement around you, when you're trying to have an individual conversation with someone is compromised, you're going to have difficulty pulling that information in. So I think for a lot of people, part of one of the things that is really general that's a change is you see people getting frustrated really quickly. You see people getting angry, needing to take a break, storming off, maybe reacting. And part of that is the threshold of the information you can take in and what you can filter out that we do on a regular basis without even thinking has changed. So I think for a lot of survivors, a big part of personality change and processing what's going on around you is really saying, how much can I take in this moment and when do I need a break? So like Linda was saying earlier with our program, with the meditation zone and all the activities we do to try and give them some mindfulness to have a restive, restorative activity. It's really focusing on them and saying, you know, what's your fatigue level? What's your threshold on doing this? That can be physical, that can be social. So we, you know, when we're working with the family or the survivor, we're really trying to help them figure out where that boundary is, and that can help them to be more successful.
Yeah, because I know when people when you're in therapy, sometimes, like you say, the threshold is just there's only so much they can do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think the idea, again, is being creative and saying, well, what's another way around this? So,
yeah.
You know, for example, if someone knows that they want to go to, let's say, an open house, but being around a lot of people and a lot of talking is overwhelming, maybe it causes a headache, maybe that person starts to get, you know, really frustrated and upset, they might take breaks. They might plan ahead and say, you know what, I'm going to go in early. I'm going to start with the party when not everyone's there. I'm going to hang out and talk with a few individuals, and then I'm going to take 10 minutes and just rest. I'm just going to take care of myself. I'm going to do my self-wellness, make sure I'm ready to go for the next step. So, for example, when we go and volunteer on the physical level, a lot of folks may have balance-related issues, you know, post-injury. So it's not just personality and emotions and behavior. And, you know, that may need just take a break. Or maybe they say, you know what, I'm going to see if I can just pull up a chair and do it this way. So they really get focused on awareness and their self-monitoring skills. They're really trying to see, you know, where am I in this moment? And am I in a good place or do I need a break so I can stay in a good place?
We're talking brain injury services of Fredericksburg this morning. Zachary Daniel is here, the program manager. Linda Allen is here. BrainInjurySVCS.org is the website that has all kinds of information. You said you have a Facebook page, too, that
yes, we do.
Has stuff, too. So just
absolutely
type in Brain Injury Services of Fredericksburg.
And like our page.
And you'll see it. And and get information. I guess the other thing is, I have heard that after with a brain injury or a stroke, it can be sometimes a year, year and a half until you kind of have an idea of what the parameters are going to be from now on. The brain can heal, but you don't know right away what a person may be able to regain and how much they'll be able to regain.
Absolutely. This is a slow process, and that's one of the things that we really try and make sure every survivor and family and the support network around their survivors are aware of, that this is a rediscovery of self. It's not going to happen overnight. Part of it is, like you said, the brain is going to heal, but the rest of the body has to get used to it. So, for example, if the part of the brain that's in control of your balance and the part of the brain that's in control of understanding social rules and unspoken understandings about what you can say or can't say out loud is impacted, it's going to take time to rewire the brain to make new pathways to relearn that. And, you know, a good example is the folks that may have more concrete thinking rather than being able to talk abstractly. So the idea of killing two birds with one stone or don't look a gift horse in the mouth, that could be like an alien language to someone if they can't think with analogies or other types of abstract ideas.
Yeah.
So they may start with concrete thinking like, you know what? I need to go to the bathroom. I just ate and I drank a lot of water. You know, that works. Or, you know, we need to get ready because it's really important to go to this appointment. Well, why? Why? Well, we need to be ready at 9:30 because it takes us 30 minutes to get there. So, oh, okay. So, you know, I have 30 minutes to get ready. So those are all those little small things that people figure out as they go. So it takes a lot of thinking, a lot of awareness, and again, a lot of learning how to communicate again with each other.
And part of what we do with the program is we can help people set goals to achieve those kinds of things that they need to relearn so that we can build into program activities opportunities for them to practice those things.
Well, and Linda, you think about caregivers in so many areas. These caregivers, boy, it can be really stressful.
Very stressful. And because so much of it is unpredictable. You don't know what things are going to be like, and the person is so different than they were before, so you're getting to know each other again, too, on new levels. So there's so much that goes into that process of relearning for everybody involved in the situation, and caregivers have a tendency to focus all of their energy on who they're caring for and not as much on themselves, and it's very easy for them to burn out. So we want to provide opportunities for respite for people to have the support that they need to be able to really walk through this situation together.
Brain Injury Services of Fredericksburg, our focus this morning, and it is braininjurysvcs.org, or check out the Facebook page. Zachary Daniel is here. Linda Allen is here. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We will wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Zachary Daniel, Linda Allen here this morning from Brain Injury Services of Fredericksburg. Before we get out of here, we'll talk again about the open house and support groups. But one of the areas, and they're just, we've talked about a number of things, Zachary, that you're going to have to come back, and we have to do more shows on a lot of these topics. One of the things, we talk about sports injuries. What about something like domestic violence?
Well, that is a silent epidemic. It's one of the ones that is least talked about. As a cause of brain injury. It's one of the ones that's the lowest reported. And it's important that when, you know, a professional who's a mandated reporter, if they see something, or if it's just a friend or a family member, if you're aware of it, to really ask the question, has there been an injury to the head? We focus, rightly so, a lot on the mental health trauma and stresses that an individual goes through when they're a victim of that. We focus a lot on the physical bruises and injuries and really getting counseling and treatment for it. But the other thing, and what a lot of studies have been showing, is that impacts to the head are usually associated with that system and cycle of abuse. So when someone's been perhaps unfortunately thrown up against, you know, a wall or been hit upside the head with something multiple times, we're not just talking about one isolated incident. We're talking about possible multiple concussions, multiple brain injuries.
Yeah.
And that's something that we have to assess and address. So one of the things that we really try and do when we go in the community and do outreaches is just encourage people to ask that question. Start with the first step and say, hey, is there a concern here? Is there something that could have happened? And then we can really address that for the person to make sure that all the impacts of domestic violence for that victim and for that survivor of that are being addressed.
We talked a little bit earlier just about some of the support groups, and it mm-hmm. seems like you have a lot of support groups and a lot of helps available for the community.
Absolutely. And, you know, we always want to have a conversation. It doesn't matter if it's the case manager or a program staff. You know, we want to engage with the community with that. So if we're out and about doing an outreach, talking, we're always happy to do more. People are always welcome to ask us to come out and talk. Or if they just want to come in, get a tour and learn more about brain injury, like Linda was saying earlier, our open houses are a great opportunity for that. We'll have more throughout the year, so stay tuned for that. We really just want people to be aware of it. I always like to say I'd rather be in the prevention business than the service business. But for now, this is my passion because I want people to prosper and be resilient and go forward. But wouldn't it be great if this is something that we can get away from and more talk about prevention in the future?
Volunteer opportunities. Do you need volunteers?
Absolutely. There's a lot of different ways you can get involved. We're always looking for folks to come in, do a workshop. If you want to donate or volunteer some time, if you have a skill or a hobby that you think would be great to share with survivors to learn or relearn, we'd love to host you for that. If you want to sponsor events so that, you know, you can pay for clients that don't have a lot of financial resources to go out in the community, get skills, or even just to have that social support, we'd love that.
Yes, and we're always looking for new volunteer opportunities. So if you have an organization that we can volunteer with, we're always open to that, too. We recently have started working with the Virginia Bluebird Society, monitoring bluebird trails. So we are always looking for new opportunities for us in the community.
I would never have thought about the two of you getting together, but that makes sense.
Yeah, and it was a really wonderful opportunity to go and see these baby bluebirds, and we're trying to provide opportunities that people might not have otherwise also, you know, so open them up to things that could become something, a new interest for them.
We're big fans of bluebirds and Ann Little, so that I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, well, that's who we were working with was Ann Little.
Sure, when you said that, the Stroke Awareness Month open house again is Thursday the 30th from 11 to 2 at your offices over there on Maple Grove Drive, and a chance to, I guess, check things out.
Yes, get to know us, get to know our services. You can come by anytime during that time frame from 11 to 2, and we hope that you'll come and learn more about what we offer and how we can help families and survivors in our community.
This is all good stuff, and thank you for what you do, because this you were not on my radar, and I'm glad you now are, because so many people in this area are dealing with just different forms of all of this, and boy, Zachary, as we said earlier, as you all got talking, you really can provide hope to people, and just maybe just a glimmer of hope that some help could come.
Absolutely. It starts with someone knowing the first step and having someone else there that understands some of what they're going through. And that makes the world a difference.
Again, the open house is Thursday the 30th, 11 to 2, Brain Injury Services of Fredericksburg at 927 Maple Grove Drive. And check everything out, or the website, braininjurysvcs.org, or on Facebook. Linda Allen, thank you for coming. Thank you for alerting me to the good work with Brain Injury Services of Fredericksburg. And Zachary Daniel, thank you for what you do, and thank you for coming in. And we will continue this conversation.
It's been a pleasure.
I look forward to it.
That is it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening this morning. We will see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.